The army of the rogue AIs of Shub came to the planet Loki, world of eternal storms, and were invited in by human traitors. Ghost warriors, human corpses given a new kind of life by tech implants and computer minds, strode unfeeling through the howling winds, side by side with the human turncoats. Outer settlements fell quickly, and the central city of Vidar, overseer of the extensive mining operations, sent out a desperate call for help. There were no ships available, but it was a very valuable planet, so Parliament did the next best thing and sent them two living legends, Jack Random and Ruby Journey. The Defiance dropped out of hyperspace over Loki, hung around just long enough to drop a heavily armored pinnace, and then it was gone again, needed urgently elsewhere. The pinnace, wrapped in four times the usual amount of protective armor, dropped like a stone into the violently swirling atmosphere of Loki. Inside, the two living legends and their reluctant accompanying marine crew clung desperately to every handhold they could find as the roaring winds shook the pinnace like a dog shakes a rat, their crash webbing swinging them crazily back and forth. The shrieking of the winds outside grew steadily louder as the pinnace plummeted down through the atmosphere, sounding more and more like a horde of seriously pissed off banshees. There were warning lights flashing all over the place, and everything not actually nailed down flew about the cramped cabin like so much shrapnel. The crew of half a dozen hastily assembled last-minute volunteer Marines hunched their heads down into their shoulders and did their best to hang on to their last meal. Random tried to look stoic and experienced, while Ruby swung happily back and forth in her webbing, whooping loudly with glee at every new drop and lurch.
Now this is what I call a ride! You'd have to pay good money for a ride like this back in Golgotha's theme parks!
Random yelled to the pilot at the front of the cabin.
Can't you do anything to settle this ship down?
The floor dropped out from under his feet again, and he clung grimly to a nearby stanchion with both hands.
I have been in crashing elevators that were less uncomfortable than this.
Ha! You're a pansy! You're getting old, Random!
Shut the hell up and let me concentrate! The gyros are useless in weather systems like this. The conditions are changing too suddenly for the computers to cope. The best we can do for now is drop like a brick and hope things improve as we get nearer the surface. Though I wouldn't put money on it. If you don't like the way I fly, there are parachutes under your seats. Of course, the storm lightning will fry you the minute you open the outer hatch, but that's your problem. Thank you for flying with us, and for God's sake, try and get at least some of it in the sick bags.
Let the man do his job.
The massive Marine sergeant to Random's left was a 30-year man with a trim, muscular form and an impressive number of combat drops to his credit. The kind of man they used to send after Jack Random back when he was still the professional rebel. Half the sergeant's face was covered with a spider's web tattoo, and golden skulls and crossbones hung from both ears. His name tab said Miller.
He's a good pilot, and he's made this drop twice before, which is twice more than anyone else has. He knows what he's doing.
I'm glad someone does. I mean, all right, it's a fun ride down. But normally people who express an interest in visiting Loki of their own free will are immediately grabbed and locked up in a rubber room under industrial-strength sedatives before they hurt themselves. If the Empire needed an enema, this world is where they'd
We had to come. We're needed.
I was quite happy back on Golgotha. Living in a civilized city where the weather does what it's told, chasing down possible Shub connections. But no, Jack Bloody Random has to go chasing off to be a hero again, and I get dragged along with him.
You know we had to come.
Random looked back at the sergeant.
You're sure young Jack Random is down there somewhere?
Oh yeah. We got holovid footage if you want to see it.
Miller's mouth twitched, as though he just tasted something sour.
The cameraman got fried before he could broadcast much, but we're pretty sure it's him. I thought you people said he died on Golgotha.
He did. I saw him die. Show us the footage.
The sergeant made the connection through the pinnace's computers, and the holovid footage played back through Random's and Ruby's comm implants, channeled directly through their optic nerves. The interior of the pinnace cabin vanished, to be replaced by a jerky, uncertain scene of a village in flames. Gusting winds fanned the fires, the low squat buildings burning like bales, and black smoke, thick with drifting smuts and cinders, billowed through the still streets. There were bodies everywhere, men, women, children, lying in great pools of blood. Not all the bodies were intact. Ghost warriors strode stiffly through the inferno, untouched by the intense heat. dead men walking, their gray flesh rotting on their bones. And at their head, smiling and laughing, a sword dripping blood in one hand, was young Jack Random. Tall, muscular, handsome, clad in silver armor chased with gold, every inch the hero of legend. A severed human head hung by its blood-slick hair from his other hand. He stopped, suddenly aware of the camera, turned and struck a pose, standing half-silhouetted against the crimson flames of a burning house. He smiled widely, showing perfect white teeth. His armor was running with blood, none of it his. He held up the severed head so it faced the camera, its eyes still rolling. Young Jack Random laughed and gestured with his sword. Two ghost warriors moved towards the camera. The scene swung wildly as the cameraman turned to run, but he didn't get far. The footage cut off abruptly, and the pinnace cabin returned. Random and Ruby looked at each other.
Well, is that him?
Oh, yes. That's young Jack Random doing what he does best.
So what's the story? Officially, the man died a hero, leading the street fighting in the Parade of the Endless. Unofficially, there are all kinds of rumors, because there always are. Some say he was killed by his own side for betraying the cause. Others say you people killed him, because he wouldn't go along with the deal you struck with Blue Block over the families. And some say he never died. He just walked away in disgust from all the killing. But that he'd return again in the hour of the Empire's greatest need. Oh, a lot of people like that one. Word is, when he first appeared on Loki, people flocked to him as a savior. Until news came back with a few survivors that he was leading an army of ghost warriors and wasn't interested in taking prisoners. So, talk to me. If I'm going to have to face that man Dirtside, I have a right to know.
Of course you have. But he's not a man, he's a machine, a fury. You can understand why we thought we had to keep that quiet.
Jesus, but he was a hero. He helped lead the rebellion.
Shub was taking the long view. If we won, they wanted one of their own in a position of power and influence. We only found out his true nature by accident. An Esper colleague of ours destroyed his body completely, flattened him out like metal roadkill.
So how come he's back here making trouble?
It would appear Shub has built another one. Another me. I suppose I should be flattered. It's psychological warfare, just a little something extra to undermine human morale. Or perhaps a lure to bring me here for some purpose of their own. When we find the Fury, I'll be sure to put those points to him and see what he has to say for himself, before I destroy him again.
If we can. Furies can take a hell of a lot of punishment. Julian Skye was a powerful Esper. There's no guarantee we'll find anyone of his caliber down there.
The sergeant's face lit up.
Julian Skye killed the original? Damn, I watch his show all the time. He was a real hero.
Yes, one of the few of us who really was. I wish you were here now.
Probably too busy doing close-ups, while we get to do the dirty work, as always. What's the matter, Sergeant? Aren't two living legends enough for you?
No offense, everyone knows your record. And I'm sure having the real Jack Random to lead him will do wonders for civilian morale.
The pinnace lurched wildly from side to side as it hit another patch of extreme turbulence. The crash webbing swung violently back and forth, slamming its human contents against each other. The cabin lights flickered and threatened to go out, but somehow hung on. Thunder rolled almost continuously, lightning crawling the length of the outer hull, and the winds howled like the storm-given voice. The sergeant popped his strap's clasps and swung down out of his webbing, bracing himself against the sudden roll and sway of the drop with two separate handholds.
I better go and see if I can help the pilot. Back in a minute.
He staggered off down the narrow central aisle, all but throwing himself from stanchion to stanchion till he could drop into the co-pilot seat and strap himself in next to the pilot. Their lips moved, but Random couldn't hear anything. They'd switched to a private channel on their comm implants, which implied it had to be really bad news. Random looked away and studied the other Marines in their crash webbing opposite him. They paid him no attention, each lost in their own private rituals of comfort. One was working a neon rosary, eyes closed, lips moving in silent prayer. Another was trying to tell an endless joke to the man beside him, who was pretending to be asleep. The others were passing a metal flask of something bracing back and forth. They didn't offer any to Random or Ruby. Jack gestured for her to lean closer, so he could speak practically in her ear. Normally, a murmur would have been lost in the din, no matter how close their heads were, but Random and Ruby could always hear each other, no matter what the conditions. Just another gift from the maze.
I had been wondering why they chose to send us here when we were doing so well uncovering Shub connections. But if that really is young Jack Random down there, at the head of a ghost warrior army, then we could be the only hope Loki has.
Maybe. But why us rather than Owen and Hazel? They're the licensed troubleshooters these days. I can't help wondering if maybe our investigations were bringing us too close to something or someone that didn't want to be known about.
No, I would have insisted on this assignment and they knew it. I need to do this. I wasn't there when my metal duplicate was destroyed. I saw it happen on the holo footage they confiscated from Toby Schreck, but it wasn't the same. I never got my chance to face him, to test myself against him. I need to see him fall before me, Ruby. I need to tear him apart with my bare hands for all the terrible things he's done while wearing my face.
And not just because for a while he seemed a better leader of men than you, and a much more plausible hero?
Of course not. How could you think such a thing of me?
They smiled dryly at each other. And then the side of the pinnace opposite them exploded. A whole section of the heavily armored hull disappeared, blown away by a direct hit from a disruptor cannon. All the Marines in their crash webbing were sucked right out of the gaping hole, their security hooks ripped out of the steel floor in a moment. New alarms sounded, and red warning lights flashed as the cabin atmosphere boiled out of the hull breach and the temperature plummeted. The pinnace spun round and round as it fell, spiraling toward the planet's surface as the pilot opened up the engines, struggling to outrun and outmaneuver the enemy's tracking systems. Random and Ruby struggled for air as the cabin pressure dropped, and breathing masks fell down from above them. They tried to reach for the masks, but their crash webbing was being sucked towards the hull breach, and it was all they could do to hang onto their security straps. Random fought for air, and prayed the webbing security hooks would hold. He looked over at Ruby, and saw her struggling to release the belt straps that held her in her webbing.
Ruby, don't!
The straps finally let go, and she lurched out of her webbing onto the slippery steel floor, clinging to a nearby stanchion with fingers like claws. She let go with one hand and grabbed a steel gun locker on the wall. It was almost as wide as it was tall and had to weigh the best part of a ton. Ruby ripped it off the wall and with an effort threw the locker in the direction of the hull breach. The hull grabbed the locker in midair and sucked it into place, neatly covering the huge gash. The cabin air pressure quickly reestablished itself, and Random fought his way out of his crash webbing and rushed over to hold the locker in place. Ruby was quickly at his side, blood dripping from her nose, with a hand welder she'd found in a toolbox. It took only a few moments to seal the locker securely, and then they both collapsed onto the floor and sat with their backs propped against the bulkhead. They were both breathing hard, but from effort now, rather than asphyxiation.
Nice throw.
Thanks. Nice catch.
You stay put and take it easy for a moment. I'll go and have a word with the pilot.
Ruby nodded wearily and gingerly massaged her aching shoulder as Random forced himself to his feet and stumbled down the aisle to the front of the pinnace. Neither the pilot nor the sergeant looked around as Random joined them.
That had to be disruptor cannon. Is there somebody up here with us?
I don't think so. Sensors would have detected another ship even in all this crap. Must be land-based.
Then Shub must have supplied it. There was nothing in the files to indicate the human traitors had access to that kind of weaponry.
Well, they do now. And we're a sitting duck up here. It's only the weather and the turbulence that's keeping them from locking on for another shot.
Do we have any energy fields?
Random leaned over the sergeant's shoulder to try to make sense of the control panels. There seemed to be a hell of a lot of warning lights flashing.
No! Engines need all their power to fight the storms, and our armor was never intended to cope with energy weapons.